A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his or her brother and sister will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to their brother or sister, Raca, will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, You fool, will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother or sister has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar, go first and be reconciled with them, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and the guard will be and you then will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. The Gospel of the Lord. I find today's gospel very, very challenging. When I taught theology in high school, I often reminded my students that we followers of Jesus were held to a higher standard, and that's what Jesus says today. Not only will murder keep us out of heaven, but so will anger. Not only will slandering keep us out of heaven, but just calling someone names will. And of course, later on in Matthew 25, we hear that we must give food, drink, shelter, clothing, and comfort, not just to our family and friends, but to strangers, to the least. On top of this, we must be merciful, clean of heart, poor in spirit, peacemakers, hunger and thirst for justice, and not worry about being persecuted. We shouldn't swear or seek revenge. We must love our enemies. This way of living is tough, but we are comforted in knowing that we are not alone. The Spirit of God is with us. What does this way of life look in today's climate? In the 2016 Civility in America survey, conducted by the firms Weber Shandwick, Powell Tate, and KRC Research, 95% of Americans surveyed said that the lack of civility is a problem. 70% of them believed that incivility in this country had risen to crisis levels. When asked to identify the groups contributing most to the lack of civility in society, most respondents cited politicians, the internet or social media, and the news media. Sadly, the past election opened a Pandora's box of incivility and, let's face it, hate in our country. In the first month of the new administration, the Southern Poverty Law Center recorded over 1,000 hate crimes in the United States. These included crimes against blacks, whites, Latinos, Muslims, gays, Jews, Asians, Sikhs, Catholics, and immigrants. The amount of vandalism at mosques, temples, churches, and synagogues has increased dramatically. Come on, someone even vandalized LeBron James's home in California, and it was not just a disgruntled fan. In fact, according to Dr. Brian Levin, a leading hate crimes researcher, hate crimes in 9 U.S. metropolitan areas rose more than 20% last year, fueled by inflamed passions during the presidential campaign and more willingness for victims to step forward and report them. This reversed a trend towards fewer hate crimes in recent years. Along with this increase in hate crimes, comes the attitude that political correctness is dead and one can say anything that pops into one's head, even if it's disrespectful and hurtful. All filters are off. A friend's daughter, attends a large public university in my city. One day she was walking down the sidewalk with two black friends. Out of nowhere, several white young men passed them, calling the young women the N-word and the B-word. They were on a public sidewalk, but that didn't matter. Catholics and the Catholic Church are not exempt from the hate and the incivility either. And yet, very seldom is this behavior condemned from the pulpit at Sunday Mass. Very seldom do clergy call us to the higher standard that Jesus does. Those of us who call ourselves Christians and fans of civility are often guilty of perpetuating the same thing. It happens every day on Facebook and around the water cooler or lunch table with catty criticism of the president, his campaign, and the Congress. I don't much care for what's going on either, but spreading and sharing incorrect, disrespectful, and crude information is just not in line with today's gospel. We criticize and condemn this hate speech by others, but then we turn around and use hateful language to demean those who are in fact using hateful language. Are we any better? As I reflected on this gospel, it's become clear that the stuff I read on Facebook is just as uncivil as that which they are criticizing. I also realize that I am very prone to the same anger as those that express their anger with uncivil and unkind language. Jesus says very clearly that we are to let go of anger. This doesn't mean that we don't fight for justice because we have to, but we let go of the gratuitous anger that seems so prevalent now. Jesus warns that calling someone "you fool" is liable to Gehenna. I realized how many times I, in my anger, have called someone who has a different opinion than I do an idiot. When my anger and words do not work to transform the world, then I am in danger of being just like those who spew hate around. We are all held to a higher standard. Jesus calls us to be reconciled with our brothers and sisters today, if that person has anything against us, and yet it's easier just to complain. How often have we admitted that we have hurt somebody or stolen from them or treated them with disrespect and actually apologized? How many of us have the courage to engage with others with whom we disagree? We are instructed to settle with our opponents quickly, and that's what we are called as Christians to do. It's the higher standard. Violence begets violence. So when we respond in an uncivil or hateful way, we're guilty of feeding the cycle. If this violence seems to be all around us, and incivility and word and action is staring us in the face, what hope do we have to live the gospel and for our world to improve? Well, I'm encouraged because there are everyday occurrences of people doing exactly what Jesus calls us to do. They go above and beyond to that higher standard. I'm thinking in particular of Rick Best and Myrdan Namke Mech in Portland, who stood up to the bully harassing the two young Muslim women. Rick Best was a Catholic. He was killed by the bully in his act of bravery. Rick reached a higher standard. At the Adult Literacy Center, where I minister, volunteers give their time and talent to help immigrants learn English. Why do they do it? Because they need to do something good and to help someone in danger. They are reaching for that higher standard. We can each live up to today's gospel by refusing to participate in our own name-calling, unfriending Facebook sites that are disrespectful, or maybe even commenting on it and calling them out, and above all, defending those most subject to hate and incivility. So what's my takeaway from today's gospel? Its lesson is critical in today's climate. We should take it seriously, and as believers in Christ, embrace the higher standard. It's one the world needs so badly today.